said, what a privilege. Amen. Giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. To the Father God, Jehovah. Amen. To the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. Giving honor to the men, women, and children of God. Hallelujah. My producer, Pastor O. Amen. Pastor Gerald Overall and his lovely wife and Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. And Gospel Tabernacle. Amen. My friends from Arkansas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Giving honor. Amen. Just thanking God for you. Amen. You know, it is a privilege. It is a privilege. I mean, you know, it's some things we're going to talk about. This is what we're talking about. It's really the privilege. it's really a privilege. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you and give you all the honor and glory because without you, we would not be. And without you, Jesus, we could not see. We could not know the way. We could not go the way. And without you, Holy Ghost, amen, we would not be able to continue. We thank you, Lord, because you do all these things, Lord. We thank you that you do it because you love us. And we praise your name for us. Father God, I ask that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you will continue to bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your glory, what is the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, I ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work approved of you. We ask that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say, let it be all of you and none of me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're continuing on the subject of the Christ in this perfect timing. I didn't time it. I'm just following orders. And it does lead up into the birth of the Christ coming in a few weeks. Amen. I watch people debate over the issue. Jesus' birthday wasn't in December. You know what? It isn't when he was born. It's why he was born. Okay? We're not a mistake. But there's a reality that comes with this, and I've come to the conclusion that because we have to accept the reality that it will only be one God, but we were made after His likeness, in His image, and after His likeness. And I think we understand a lot. I've heard a lot over the years about His image. Must teach in relationship to the authority and the power of God. But there's a distinct difference and a reason why that they use the word likeness. You know, I was reading a Facebook post, and someone that I used to work with, one of my former coworkers, was showing the pictures of their grandchild recently. And, you know, we look at these things and we look at it as though it's just something just like it's just a magical, you know, as though there's no force or motive behind it. And what is behind it is so awesome that I think we just don't think that it really pertains to us in that fashion. And what I'm saying is, see, we know God. And we know he's omniscient, and we know he's omnipotent, and we know he's omnipresent, and we know he can do all things, and we know there's no limit to his intelligence. But when you look at the whole picture, I mean, with all those capabilities, it is without question, he could have made life so that we could have came out of the womb into heaven. Into a heavenly realm, into a perfect environment, into a trouble-free environment, but we didn't. Now, I've heard ridiculous statements over the years from men that would be considered highly intelligent, But what they really are were men that were full of pride. When you can't bow down to God, that's pride. When you can't ask God, that's pride. And pride, as the word says, goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That haughty spirit don't stop and think, and you get tripped up. You're in a hurry. You think you know what's going on. But that's because you have excluded God from a part of your plan in life. That's what happens there. We're going to look, as we've been looking at, so we're talking about the Christ and what that really means. And I am giving you the elementary level. It's a much deeper subject than that, because the people that I am studying and listening to, when they teach on it, I feel shamed. Like, but they have more years at it, and there's some things God don't reveal to everybody, because he handles things through individuals. He wants us to live at certain standards. God has a chain of command. Okay? Now, I don't believe that the only thing you will ever know will come through your pastor. But I'm pretty sure that what you know will be certified through his ministry. In other words, at some point in time, you're going to agree. Or you're gonna get a second opinion that agrees with your opinion through the man of God over discussion. I've had that happen many times. And I get a thought in my mind, and I knew to keep it. This thought of training day, I sat on it a while, you know? I mean, because I understand. I've been a Christian for 45 years, and I know how, I don't know, how strange, I put it like that, Christians can be when you shake their little religion. Because they say, you know, even the ones that say they're beyond religion, there's some things I say that reveal to me they still, and it comes in level. Because, as I was talking about earlier, when a child is born, I said a little bit about this last time, you know, you introduce a sperm into an egg, and it's amazing. Look at all the different areas of cellular structures that it has to pass in order to find specifically the egg. How does it know that? That's because you go Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God breathed and Adam became a living soul, and he separated part of his ruah, as it says in the Hebrew, part of his, that's a moving force type of activity. It's if you've seen it under a microscope, you'll see it. It's never sitting still. If you ever watch living cells in a microscope, they're never sitting still. They're always moving. And what comes out of your seat, because we don't see breath at its molecular level, it's there because they capture it. Having worked in law enforcement, they'll capture your breath and can determine that there are other chemicals in there, particularly alcohol, that are in there, and they can identify it because it's a living substance. See, my whole point here is trying to get your mind elevated past where we are now, because we're going into the final phase of mankind. First phase, as I said, was from Adam up to Jesus, and Jesus to that gap in between Jesus brought it, made the available of created the opportunity for God to put the Holy Spirit, the anointing, inside of us. See, because we don't get to do all the things that it can have the capability of doing, we tend to take it lightly. That's why I myself, let me use me. I would always say that I got saved November 16, 1976. And then one day the Lord showed me something. I got saved the day I confessed myself. I opened my mouth and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I didn't take it that serious. I read a tract. I just read it. And God don't require you to really know it and completely understand it. He expects you to grow and understand it. But at the first step, you don't understand it. You know, you just read it because it would. I just read a tract. But that incident really put me in a whole different category. That allowed God to protect me, which he did many times because I was, like I said, oblivious. It allowed him to bless me. And because I didn't make the effort till later on, another 4 or 5 years, before I gravitated to the reality. He did something November 16th. That's what made it so. That's when I really knew I was anointed. That's when he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And then you need to look up that because Matthew 3:11, I believe, Jesus, not Jesus Jones, Jesus Christ administers the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, let's read this. See, because this is all this, what I'm trying to explain is what we, you know, how the Old Testament, the types of, in the Old Testament, types are events that elaborate in the physical what happens in the spiritual realm, okay? Now, Matthew chapter 3, okay, here, matter of fact, I'm going to read that because I'm going to back up some because, like I said, I don't want to go too fast in this because it is such a deep subject. Now, here, John is baptizing. John the beloved John the Baptist, and here he is being, you know, approached by the local religious leaders. Okay, God don't have a problem with people starting something as long as they stay in alignment with his words. You know, you can call yourself whatever. But I've been noticing as I move around a lot that a lot of churches are dropping denominational name, and that's because they're picking up the Bible and reading it and realizing that ain't in the Bible, okay? John was the only Baptist that ever lived. So if you're calling yourself Baptist, Satan know you don't know what's going on. And he will take advantage of that and use it against you. He works, he thrives on spiritual ignorance. Because, see, that's the one thing about a denomination. I guarantee you, you give me a denominational name, and I can tell you what's in the word they don't believe and what's in there that they don't believe. They've been convinced by Satan not to believe it so that they cannot exercise their authority against him. That's why he does that. He's been at this psychological warfare game for 5,000 years. Without the Holy Ghost, without you submitting to God, you're no match for him. I don't care how many PhDs, DBGs, and all the names you got behind your name. You know, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not even worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I mean, that speaks for itself. That doesn't need defining, but I find people that need it to be defined. Hey, you know, that's an illustration. No. But you know what? I cut them up. Did you ask God? You know what? It's sad that I'm still doing that today, and I get nothing. They don't say nothing because they don't want to. At least they're honorable enough to not lie and say they did because they know they didn't. But you know what? You're missing something. See, what I'm talking about here, the purpose of this is, as you see, as we move forward. Now, this new virus that came, a new version of the virus. You know what? It told me that the church is waking up. See, normally what happens is when something strikes, everybody run to church. And God, I liked how this thing handled this time. Now, I know folk don't agree. When they first closed the doors of the church, I'm gonna be honest. I was a little happy. I wasn't going to say happy, but I was happy. Because now that meant they had to get personal with God. They had the church at home. Now, some folks still stay at home, but they need to be going back. The Bible say, forsake not the assembling of yourself. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Read the whole chapter 10. Read the whole chapter anyway. I'm not going to give you the verse. All right? But what this what the point is, I know at Running for Christ, and I know at Word of Faith, and I know at Action for God, and amen, and I can name a list of churches. The pastor's primary focus has not been to just entertain you to come to church, so you'll come to church and get entertained and leave totally blank with no more knowledge than you had when you went in there. But they primarily teach you, one, the revelation of of God, so that you will be personal with God, so that you can access the power of God. You're going to need that as we move forward. As we move forward, the Bible is clear. Things are going to get uglier. But what God is looking for is the glory of his name through his people. And what I'm trying to bring my little portion to the table here is that you as a Christian will have the authority and the ability to overcome whatever comes at you. There's a criteria to that. It always has been. Okay? And God has been very merciful and lenient, so, you know, it ain't like nobody that has the authority and the power to take authority over the devil never miss it. Okay? You know, ain't but one person I know make that claim. And I'm praying for him. And it's called the Pope. Amen. Pray for him. He just needs revelation. And if enough of us pray for him, I want to see. I want enough of us to pray because we're talking about a tremendous force there. Satan don't want that to happen. For them to just make one major change, and that is to pray to God instead of everybody else they call on. That's a total waste of their energy. They get that right, you will really see a major, major outpouring and a major outreach and folk getting saved, and they save folk getting saved. Amen. All right. So we're talking about Christ, the Christ, Jesus Christ, and how we've been sharing things in the Bible, we talked about how in both the Old and the New Testament, the Messiah meant anointed one. Christ means anointed one. We talked about the fact that anointing is a passing on of power and giving authority from a person who has the power, and in our case is God. In all our lives, the whole Bible is to teach us about this power and authority, because when Jesus come back for the 1,000-year period, we will be in it in its fullness. The 15% of your brain that you're not using, accessing now, that limit will be gone, and a whole lot of other limitations. But and what God expects for us to do that shows him that we'll be able to handle that power is to walk in love. And we see this in how we handle our day-to-day affairs at different levels and how we relate. This is where forgiveness comes in. This is where, you can't compromise on sin because the government agrees that it is a certain way. And that's going to be the next hit on the church. I'm seeing that now, but, you know, Satan is only want to get you out of an alignment with the Word of God because he knows you have no authority. You have authority, but you can't use it unless you're in alignment with him, in alignment with God. All right. So I want to go back a little bit and visit with, we talked about Elijah, and we started talking about Elisha, the protege to Elijah, and look at some events. Now, back then, so we're going to 2 Kings, we're going to start at chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4. Well, let's go in chapter, no, I don't want to get into that. But in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, Elijah, J-A-H, protege. You know, he studied under somebody, and he learned how to operate in the things of God being under him. And he saw the things that God did with him. Elijah, just for the record, never died. Matter of fact, he's holding conversation with Jesus in Mark chapter 9. That's some, I don't know, 2,000 years later, 3,000 years later, 1,500, don't matter. It was more than 90 days, and he never died. Him and Moses was holding a conversation with him. They're holding counsel, okay? See, and that's the point. This is the point. Get your mind past this earthliness. You know they had a phrase, a saying that, and they still have it. It says, "Don't be so heavenly good that you are no earth. Don't be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good." Well, I want to reverse that. Don't be so earthly minded that you are no heavenly good. Because what you're dealing with, as I was starting to say earlier, this COVID thing, the reason Omicron isn't having the impact is because the church is having an impact. They're waking up. I really believe that. And it's going to be some more changes as they wake up. See, usually after something happens, they fall back into that lull. But see, now it just keep coming. So they can't fall back. And rightly so, because you can't. It's like it's common with successful people that they never stop learning. And so, how much more the children of God never stop learning? This is why they say, don't just read the Bible. The Bible is an adventure. Man, it's more than an adventure. All right, so we're gonna go in here in 2 Kings chapter 4, and this particular situation is I'm not going to get into all the law, amen. You can go. But anyway, bottom line is this woman needed some money. She needed to be able to pay off some bills. She needed to get some stuff done. She needed her husband. Let's read and see. It'll tell you right quick. I'm going to read through this fast. It says, "And now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets of Elijah's, saying that thy servant, my husband, is dead, and you knowest that your servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor," ain't that something, that word creditor is in the Bible, "is come to take unto him my two sons to be by me." In other words, they had to work it off. "And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your handmaid don't have anything save a pot of oil." Okay? They squeezed oil out of olives back then. They used it for a variety of purposes. Then he said, "Go borrow you some vessels abroad of all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Get as many as you can. And when you are come in, you shall shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons." And that's another whole message. "And you shall pour out all the vessels." Now, she got one pot. Now, look, this is what, let me give you a rundown real quick. She went and got a bunch of empty pots, borrowed them from all her neighbors, filled up her house with, and then he just told her, he put the word out, spoke the word of God, and said, "You shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went and did what she told in verse 5, and then it came to pass that the vessel was full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel," and she said, "There is no more." Then she came and told the man of God, "I did what you said." And then he said, "Go and sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and your children off the rest." All right. Now, this is what is commonly, if I'm wrong, send me an email, I don't care. And then send me the correction. Don't just send me I'm wrong. Send me the correction so I can get it right. Now, I don't have no problem with not being right about everything. This is a vast subject, and I ain't exactly, my IQ ain't in the 180s. Anyway, so my point here is this is what is called a creative miracle, because you're talking about seemingly making something out of a nothing. But understanding in the critical times in the situation that God at times did what was just gave man the authority and the ability to do beyond the norm. I have seen this with my own eyes, creative miracles. You know, I remember seeing at a service, watching a man that was pretty much dead. I mean, he had an IV bottle there to bring him in with a nurse, okay? He had a bunch of stuff. He was on death row, for real, real. And I watched him stand up. I watched God move on him. But at the same time, in the atmosphere, with the presence of God, at a level I have yet to experience. No, I can't say that. I did experience it once. It was once after church and everybody else had left and God came in like a strong wind. Amen. I have experienced it. It's different. There are levels of the presence of God. Okay, and I'm not teaching on that. I'm just giving you, like I said, the elementary version so that you don't think of yourself a Christian as a religious person. You need to get your mind to that level so God can use you. Because next week we're going to look at some things that Christians do that God is going to be doing through pew sitters, not just the pastors. You know, things like laying hands on the sick. This is what's declared in the word. But all this is enveloped in the anointing. This is the price that was paid. This is a process that God went through, but this is not, you know, I had to go by what I know in the word. This is going to go on, okay? And God is going to be using us, and we're going to look at people that try to take him. Well, you've seen it probably if you're old enough, I know. Well, people try to market this stuff. They still do it today. You know, the Bible says freely receive, freely give. I mean, you know, if you do that, you'll get an exchange. But this is a thought I had today. If Elijah or you did that today, if you just before you could sell that oil, you'd have to get a license. See, some things I think we like manna. Manna would have to be passed through the FDA before it could be dispersed, you know. Now, I mean out in the middle of the desert with nobody know, with nobody tell, but technically, and I'm wondering sometimes if God, if we don't just drop money out of the sky because it will be counterfeit. This is why you have to believe through the system that exists, and there are incidents in the Bible that God can override or he can compel people to be a blessing unto you. But you have to, again, be in alignment with God. A lot of people, you know, my pastor frequently says about the biggest problem with the body of Christ, they don't know where their place is. See, having a title and all that, listen, if you under, you know, it's like team. Let's think of it as teamwork. And Jesus is the team captain. The pastors are leaders. They the coaches. But Jesus is actually the head. He's the team leader. He's the boss. He's above them all. Okay, he's pastor superior. Okay, I just made that up. You can write it down, and thank you. All right. So that was a creative miracle, but the fact of the matter is what occurs. You're, again, accessing everything that about came when God spoke this whole place into existence in Genesis chapter 1. You are still seeing the active ability, capability of God. This is why we're cautioned about what comes out of our mouth. See, know what he said. He went back. He said, and look, he gave her instructions. Then he said in verse, in 2 Kings 4, 3, then he said, now, this, you'll say, you know, now, we have, I don't know yet, I haven't learned how these boundaries are constructed, you know, but I'm learning, you know, there's a lot to learn. I got a lot of books. I mean, I've been studying this stuff for years. Just like we have this city I live in, it has a limitation. It has boundaries, and then there's the adjoining cities. The authority, my mayor does not have authority in the next city. The police don't have authority in the next city. I mean, they could extend courtesy, but actual authority, same thing with the state. And that's the same thing. Now, how does the anointing works in the fullness? I know in your household, you have authority. Over your life, your children's life, you have authority. And this is the point right now. This what's going on, what's critical now is utilizing that authority. You know, I mean, people can collect all the guns they want, but let me tell you about a gun. How you going to shoot what you can't see? How you going to shoot unless you know what to shoot? If it's behind you, you don't know. I mean, it just, that is not going to be the greatest form of protection. You know, it has very great limitations. But the power of God is unlimited. And to be able to speak these things, see, I'm trying, pray for me, because I'm trying to learn some things that I can share. See, one of the things I know about receiving a return on your giving, okay, having everything in alignment and you're not getting a return, okay, God can't drop money out of heaven. He has in times compelled people to write, but then they might obey, they might obey, might not obey. So what is your role in that? You need to want to know, because it's not the same for everybody. Everybody's not the same. Sometimes it might just be somebody that you least likely think it would be. But this is the critical part, is you got to be able to go to God to find out who that is. You, and if you're not, and God ain't going, you ain't going, listen, you can't visit God. This whole life is about us learning to be in submission to him. So if I only talk to him once a month, you know, I mean, he'll answer because he's merciful. But you want to be secure and get an answer. I talk to him daily because, I mean, come on now. I'm our pastor. I would love to pick his brain. I mean, I'd even love to pick my brother, Pastor Gerald's brain, because submissive pastors get access to God that the average believer don't. And I'd love to get it, and they're willing to share, but their schedules be so busy. You know, I used to think all pastors did was preach on Sunday, ate a chicken dinner somewhere, and went and sat home and read the Bible the rest of the week to the next Sunday. I found out that wasn't the case. A lot of people think that. And I'm going to tell you, I need to shut your mouth out about what pastors have. I mean, buy that man a new car and make sure he had the best. Believe me, if you're in the hospital, you don't want his car breaking down on the way to see you. I don't know why people. God, listen, what I was going to say is get with God, because it's different for everybody, okay? I got two motors in my garage. One I'm going to fix and sell to pay for the other one, okay? But I have that skill. I went to school for that skill, okay? Then, you know, God might tell you, I ran a lawn company for enough years to get the money that I need to do what I needed to do. I didn't have no desire to cut nobody's grass. And when I did it joyfully. But that was what God gave me for that season. And I did it, and it was a blessing. But you need to know what God got for you. I mean, I wasn't why I was going to take up a course at sewing just so I could sew hems in the pants of dresses and pants so I could do side work for cleaners and get paid for it. People have skills and abilities just like this lady. She could have said, I don't want to sell no oil. Well, I got to go sell oil. I don't want my neighbors to know I need some. You know, she could have done all that, stopped that foolishness. If God give you that mission, do that. She did what the man of God say. So when you go and he tell you what to do and you don't do it, that's on you. See, there's a way. God will operate in what exists. But see, what is going on in all this? It's establishing the track record of the authority and the power of God. See, if she probably, I ain't going to say that. I don't know that woman, so I ain't going to say nothing about her. I didn't know. I don't know. You know, and then that was a different era. Now, that's under the Old Testament. What Elisha have, you have. Thank you, Holy Ghost, because I've been missing that point. Everything. You go back and you listen to every session and what Elijah had, Elisha had, what Samson had. They all had, you have. Now, and you don't have to be a prophet to utilize it. This is what it's talking about. This is what Jesus died for. But this is what God is trying to educate us in this level. This is what training day is about, educating you to the place of the spiritual man. You know how to be flesh. It's about the spiritual man. All right. So, now. I think I'm going to skip him. I was going to talk about John G. Lake. Oh, no, Naaman. I ain't going to talk about Naaman. Well, Naaman, let's go to 2 Kings, the next chapter, 2 Kings chapter 5. and talk about this guy a little bit anyway, because I want to see some, show you some things. I mean, but particularly the fact of the matter is, this is, all right, well, anyway, it says, and now Naaman, the captain of the host of the kings, matter of fact, I want to read this in NIV, so, now, 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram, which is Aram, which is modern-day Assyria, modern-day Syria, okay, and he was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was valiant and soldier, but he had leprosy, okay? It's a skin disease. You talking about, you know, when I hear people, if you ever seen a leper, their skin is white. white, with no melanin. I'm not talking about, like, people that you see who is taup, and I was corrected, T-A-U-P, as in Paul E, not taut. Taut is when it's tight. Taup is the color. But his skin had no color. It would have been white like a piece of paper. Anyway, it says, now the bands of Aaron had gone out and taken a captive young girl from Israel, and she served as Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only the master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of leprosy. All right, this is what that's about. All right, so bottom line is Naaman did make the trip, and she went there. Naaman went to see Elisha, and you get dropped down to verse 9, and it says, and so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, said, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. And yet again, Elisha said to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean. And I'm going to, for the sake of time, I'm going to just cut through this. Naaman wasn't too happy with that idea, because he said, I came all this way, and all I got to do is go wash in some dirty water when the water where I came from was clean. All right, but Naaman obeyed, and he was healed. Now, I'm bringing this up is to show you is that the anointing that was on Elisha is the same as the Holy Ghost that you receive when you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Now, know what you did not see happen. Jesus, the physical, you did not see him appear and walk, emerge inside of you. So what came in? You received Christ. You received the spiritual man. On your man. Remember I told you, we went back and we looked, and you had the washing, then you had the blood, then you had the anointing, the washing, the blood, and the anointing. Okay? Because going back, because of our creation, sooner or later, it would have been a different process if Adam had waited, but and Eve had waited, but it's not possible. For you would have to have complete control of the environment and every aspect of it 24/7 for you not to miss it. And that ain't going to happen. You can narrow it down. You might make 24/6. You might make 24/6, 59. But at some point, you're going to fall. You're going to come up short. And God has a command. Say, be ye holy as I am holy. Again, the point of this is, as we're going to be under him, we're going to rule with Jesus, but look at how God is God, but he blesses us. See, he blesses us, and so God is going to expect us to be a blessing all throughout eternity. Can't be a blessing right now with his substance now, then it's, that's evidence against us, okay? That's evidence against us. And the likelihood, according to what I see in the book of Revelation in chapter 20, 2015, and that's what happened to the people that he don't trust with this power. And again, money, especially people with a lot of money. See, I'm talking about billions. I'm talking about hundreds of millions. You know, the fact that they don't spend time with God getting direction and instruction, they don't know, ain't on nobody but them. They think through their brilliance, they got all that they have, you know. But like a famous actor said, he's been to a lot of funerals. He's never seen, amen, a U-Haul hooked to a casket. You don't take nothing with you. Paul said, naked I came, naked I leave. And that is the fact of the matter, okay? Now, but the point is, when you, this is another challenge area. And again, I say, go to God to get the revelation, because I learned this. This was given, delivered to me, downloaded to me some time ago, but it was in Mark chapter 5, the madman of Gadaran, but he had 5,000 demons. See, we have this limited understanding of what a demon looks like. You really just throw away the pictures in your mind of what a demon looks like and think of it as an intelligence. This is why you don't see them running around, okay? And this is why, see, they dress up evil looking. I haven't seen those pictures in the Bible. They take one incident where it says Satan looked like a dragon, and that's how they dress demons. They all look like dragons. That's the pictures you always see, some evil-looking thing. And it's amazing how I've noticed with that. I hang around a lot of race cars, and when they try to illustrate a car with a lot of power, they'll have this picture of this evil-looking demon, and them dudes got kicked out of heaven. they ain't all that power. they ain't got all that power. If they was, they'd be running everything. See, they're part of the training force. There was no need for all this if there wasn't going to be a challenge. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said that you shall have power. Why do you need power? You need power to cause resistance and to counter resistance. Cause resistance and to counter resistance. If there's not going to be any need, God, who does everything with a purpose, would not have given us power. And we're talking about access. When you listen, beyond your human flesh, you're talking about accessing the power of God at a level that we yet to comprehend. We will get to experience that. Some dead, the past saints, I don't call them dead because they're yet alive, are experiencing things at a different level, at a whole different level. Remember, you ain't seen nobody take their body with you, so what left? And what's the limitations on what they pulled out of here with? We sitting down here. Now, I'm going to tell you, I understand the sadness. I've had people die. You know, I had friends die, you know, and it hurt. Mainly because, I don't know, because you miss them. It's part of the nature, you know. It's just part of our instruction, which ain't a bad thing. We just, you know, the people you're not going to be able to talk to. So that, don't let nobody tell you weak because you shed tears and all that. But this is just me. This is my own little perception. Every now and then when I have those moments, I tell Jesus, I ask Jesus. I don't tell him this. He's my boss. I asked him to tell my mother I said hi, tell my family I said hi, and I'll see you later. And I know if I'm kind, he's kinder than me, and I think he do it. I believe when we meet together, they're going to be able to tell me all the times. So I said, you know, he told us, you said, well, you miss us, and we glad you're here, and all that. But anyway, because God loves like that. I can show you some scripture, but all right, the point is when you think Christian, when you think Christ, and when you're reading particularly in the Old Testament, and you see these super events, try to let the Holy Ghost create in your mind a picture of what is really going on. It's like it's a world. It's like almost like you can see people enveloped with a matter of fact, I know you can. Well, you can. We can. A person enveloped or covered with it's like it would be like a mist, like an aura around them. This is why people use those terms, because I'm sure, like everything else, God has let some people see some things that is not normal. And like I tell people, you start getting close to God and you will experience and see things that you won't even tell nobody. But that's because, one, he trusts you, to not be big-headed, even though I've seen that happen with people. They start raising themselves up, and that's when they start calling themselves apostle, and they ain't started no work nowhere, can't, ain't even got a family. I don't know, man. They, people got their own definitions of apostles. But anyway, that's what I'm trying. This is not religion. You're not, see, we're not going through all this to get to heaven, okay? We're going to be on this earth for 1,000 years. Then he makes a brand new one. That's in Revelation chapter 21. And then he's expanding the universe at 186,000 miles per second. There's no description of us using spaceships and rockets to travel back then, during then. Okay? At least not that I know of. Okay? And God is getting ready then this year, next year particularly, God is going to uncover much of what's in the book of Revelation that we don't know. I really believe that. But as we draw closer, and that's the point, when you start looking in the Word, look at what happened in the Word, you know, because like I said, we're going to see some events that happen in the New Testament that people automatically earthicize, that's my word, another one you can add it to your dictionary, earthicize things because their mind can't accept the fact of the reality of what God has done in creating us. Okay, again, you got the creation of man, the first phase of man from Adam all the way up to Jesus. Then you got the introduction of the Holy Spirit in man. The 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creation. And then we're going into the final creation, 1 John 3:2, although it does not yet appear when we see him, we shall be as he is, complete control of the molecular environment. That's a whole different level character, whole different level creature, whole different level man. That's the Bible. I believe the Bible over anybody. And then you got to look at the basics, like I started talking about, how as a child we just come here as a piece of sperm, dive into an egg, grab some chemicals and cells, and begin to build and construct the body that we live in now, as marvelous as it is. Now, I mean, I've seen, you can go and look up sperm under a microscope and you'll see, you won't see all these magnificent organs that we have. You won't see no bones, you won't see no eyes, you won't see none of the stuff that we have. I know they say God didn't make it. It came from God. But he released the authority for us to utilize that skill set to get the job done. And what we are learning in life is the magnitude of that power. That's what it's all about. And like I say, yeah, and this is the elementary level. This, believe me, I'll be sitting sometime. I mean, my pastor right now is going over the parables of Jesus. You know, somebody been at this 45, 50 years. And here we coming over some deeper stuff that's always, amen, not a new edition of the Bible, same Bible, but a different depth of it. You're going to see that. Because, why? We're going to a different depth. We are going to a different depth. And in your experiences, I want to share a little bit right now. Oh, have your mind open. When one of your relatives particularly, or a friend, or a member of church is in the hospital, make your way to see them. If you're walking up right before God, listen, let me explain something to you right now. We're talking about the anointing. We're talking about what Christ did for us, through us. It said that in Mark 16, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, I put that to God some years ago, and I'm like, God, because, you know, a lot of time we want to pray a sermon, but the time and the situation don't require that. See, if you're walking in faith, walking in faith is walking in alignment with the Word of God. Amen. And like I say, don't kill yourself over stuff. Make your way. Because they're going to know the difference. The first lady at our church said something. Every now and then she says something that just burns in my spirit and it stays, but it blesses my heart. I'm talking about a situation where she was healed as a child and the Lord told her that anointing that brought forth her healing is still with her. And I thought about all the times I've been healed. So that's, we're going to get to the point where this is transferable. Matter of fact, you saw this when Elisha just spoke the word. Go do this, go do that. Out of the a breath out of his mouth. This is out of his mouth came the anointing to get it done. Why? That was given to him. You go back to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. That was given. He asked for a double portion. But what is he talking about? Access to the power of God. You got to go back and read Kings and see what goes on with Elisha. What went on back then? We have the ability. I believe if you were somewhere, I ain't going to say that. I don't want nobody being a plane crash. You in a desperate situation. Now, look for God to use you in a great way. That's that. Nothing said. I've been there. I remember going to pray for a guy, a coworker. He had been in an auto accident. This was years ago, before I went to work as a deputy sheriff. I had a job for a little while, but one of the coworkers that I had at that job had got injured in a serious accident, so serious that when I got to the hospital, there was a priest leaving, had gave him the last rites. And so I walked in there, and I asked the nurse, can I just spend 10 seconds with him? And she looked at me and she said, yeah, just 10 seconds. So I just went in there and laid hands on him and said, you're going to be out. Just laid my hands on, whispered in Jesus' name. And I didn't say, in Jesus' name be here. I just said, in Jesus' name, laid hands and left. And guess what? He's still alive today. Well, he might be alive today, but I'll put it like this. He recovered completely and totally. And it had a major impact on his life, obviously, because he knew he was at death door, and you couldn't tell him nothing about God. I mean, you could tell him, he glorifying God every opportunity because he knew there was no way he was coming out of that hospital unless God brought him out. I mean, he was at death's door. And what impressed me was it wasn't the first time God used me like that. But it let me know that what I had received from God was the same thing my pastor had. Matter of fact, I mean, if there is events, and God is going to be doing that. You are not part of a religion. You're part of the kingdom of God. And the way to see where there's a kingdom, there's a king. And it means an authority. You're an ambassador of Christ. Listen to what he said. Ambassador of Christ. Ambassador of Christ. The anointed one and his anointing to do his will. And that is to correct what's wrong. You have to be in tune with God. And it's a learning process. And that's my whole point is, don't think of yourself as just what they call it, an old sinner saved by grace. Just say you're saved by grace. Don't be sinning because the grace won't work and the power won't work. All these things. And I'm giving you this because we're going into what? Christmas. God is going to do, this thing is not going to end without God being glorified. Really. I mean, the rapture in itself would glorify him because you're going to have 1 billion people disappearing. But before we get to that place, and just one, again, so it'll be more than what you heard here, more than what you heard in church, more than what you read in the Bible, you will have experienced it. That's why I'm so aggressive about it, is what I have experienced and where God has used me at times that just is mind-blowing, but it makes you more conscious of how you handle yourself. As Paul said I believe in 2 Corinthians 4, that we have this precious gift in this earthen vessel. So we're learning a little about this. If it didn't take so much to learn it, it wouldn't have taken 6,000 years to teach it. Think about that. This is deeper than I mean, who been to college for 6,000 years? And we just barely, we understand some things. You know, I know some men of God that are humble men of God, and they will say they don't know as much as Paul. But I've seen them. See, Paul, I look forward to meeting him and give him a hug because I was just reading some more about him again in the book of Acts. You know what I mean? Paul was, but look at all that. It's just to show that what God has done with us. And use us. This is going to be, I expect this to be a spectacular Christmas. I really do. I expect to the point that miracles will be so numerous coming from the hands of so many believers that the news will have to report it. If they don't report it, it's going to be all over the internet anyway. I mean, you're going to see spectacular, but you get your mind to the point that little old you can be used of great big him. See? And it's all about be careful. Be careful to give God the glory. Be careful to give God. People get concerned. People don't care. When the people be cussing and doing all that old stuff, they don't care about whether or not they offend us. You know, I feel like, you know, I mean, I ain't worried about it. I don't even concern myself with what people think. I only concern myself as a man of God, say, an audience of one. Expect God to use you. And again, next week we're going to cross over. I didn't get to all that I wanted to get to. But go and read 2 Kings. I do want to say this. Do I have time? No, I don't. I'll talk about it and then we'll transit into the New Testament. Because I wanted to talk about the fact of Elisha after he died. Well, I got enough time. It's only a couple of minutes. Anyway, because I want to break it down for you. All right? So let's begin with the process. In case you haven't done it already, this might be your first time listening. It may be before the rapture. It may be after the rapture. Amen. That you're listening to this, it will work. And the power of God, I believe, will work for those that submit to God after the rapture. You know, some things, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't have a lot of details on that. I would advise not missing it to leave with the rapture, because I do know that the devil can recognize a Christian. That's in Acts chapter 19 toward the end, the sons of Sceva. They were able to recognize that they didn't have nothing. They had religion, but they didn't have the anointing. The devil knows that. Anyway, and pray for me because just pray for me anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, you never receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You never receive Jesus as your Savior and Christ. This is such a simple process to do something that's required for you to have eternal life. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, every way is not the way to God. Every way, I mean, you run your house. Do you let anything and everything go in your house? I strike that because I know some people do, but I don't. Okay? But anyway, say this prayer, as I said earlier. You don't have to fully understand it. But if you spend time with God in his word, talking to him, he'll give you revelation. It says, Lord God, I believe Jesus is your son. And I believe you sent him to die for our sin. And I ask right now that you forgive me for my sin. And I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that I am saved. And Father God, I ask forgiveness for all my sin. And for those that have backslidden, just say this, Father God, I ask forgiveness and I return to you. Amen. And I believe you for full fellowship and restoration. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. And that one day we'll get to talking about that maybe sometime next year. But that's the same thing. That's the authority to use the anointing. And you have to have received Christ in order to have that authority. And with that, I'm going to say prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
Said I woke up to the summer shining through, calling on my friends asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I face. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes,
I'm gonna be double. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart.